We have already heard so much that we have been richly blessed by the word of the Lord. For myself, everything has gone very much to my heart, and I realize that there is much more blessing in hearing than in speaking, and that is why I will soon be sitting more than standing. Regarding this word from Jeremiah 11, I would like to read verse 14. I thought to myself, as Brother Ruth read, I hope he will let me have the 14th verse. And indeed, he stopped with verse 13. I thought that for a reason, because the Lord told Brother Branham, he didn't even need to pray for America anymore. They missed the hour and the time of their divine visitation. When God says that to a prophet, like here to Jeremiah, it says here in verse 14, therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. When it comes to the point that God has to pronounce such a word, that he himself sent a prophet who was commissioned to call the people back by the word of the Lord and to make them aware that they should comply with all the words of God and do according to the instructions. And God saw through the heart of the people and knew exactly that the prophet can speak as much as he wants. They will not listen. And that's why he tells him, therefore, pray not thou for this people. We hope that God will have mercy on us. When I hear the word of the curse here, it was in verse 3, it says here, and say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. I think we all feel the same way. When we hear the word cursed, it goes through our marrow and bone. And we don't want to have anything to do with curses, whatever the cost. We don't want to have anything to do with curses, but with blessings. And we know that right from Moses, Moses stood before the people and showed them the curse and the blessing on the same day. He told them, let it be known to you this day that if you do according to the word of the Lord, you will be blessed. On the same day, in the same context, he says, this is the curse that will come upon you if you do not obey the word of the Lord. And I couldn't help thinking of Matthew 25, where it says at the end, Matthew 25, it says here in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In contrast to this, we read in verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. When these two things are contrasted, a holy seriousness comes over us all, and we know that blessing will come to those who have believed the Word of God, who have obeyed His instructions, and who could be aligned accordingly. The curse will befall all who have heard the Word of God, but have not believed it, but have gone on their own way. Here at the end, these two things are contrasted. Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For those who were chosen before the foundation of the world, that they might believe what God tells them, that they might hear when God sends a prophet. They never say, "We don't need a prophet." They certainly thought that in the days of Jeremiah, "We don't need a prophet, we will be fine." But God spoke to the prophet, "Do not pray for them, for I will not hear your prayer." Even in their time of trouble, when they call for help, I will not answer. Otherwise it is written, "Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will save you, and you shall praise me." But who can call upon God in his trouble? Namely, he who recognizes his trouble and comes to God with his condition and calls upon him. But he who does not even recognize what the trouble is will not be able to cry out so that God will help. There is another word here in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, from verse 6. Here it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." When is God near to us? When can God be found? Most certainly in the moments and at the time when he talks to us and gathers us in his presence so that we can hear his word. Then he is close to us, and then we can seek him, and he can be found. In this context, I think of the word that was spoken to Moses, and he passed it on to Aaron and his descendants. It is in Numbers, chapter 6, Numbers, chapter 6, from verse 22. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." God commissioned the servants of God to bless his people in this way. And if we notice what those words contain, then that is a blessing in itself, because I think God intended to bless his people. That is why he let say, "On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee." God would not have had this pronounced if he had not intended to bless his people. He tells Aaron and his descendants to pronounce such on his people. First of all, the Lord bless you. This is something quite wonderful. Think of it. God would never have said anything unless he meant it. The first thing God intended to do with his people was what he has them say here, namely, the Lord bless thee. God intended to bless his people. Secondly, he lets it be pronounced, and keep thee. If these two things are in our lives, if God blesses us and keeps us, what else do we lack? God causes this to be communicated by the mouth of Moses to Aaron and to all his descendants who would do the service of God in the house of God, that they would pronounce the blessing upon the people of Israel with these words, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." God had purposed this to bless and to keep. It goes on to say, "The Lord make his face shine upon thee." This is what God intended, to make his face shine upon his people. And that is why he pronounced this blessing. Brothers and sisters, it is a blessing when God lets his face shine upon his people. When God lets his face shine upon his people, what is written in the second part of this verse also comes true. And be gracious unto thee. God wanted to be gracious. God did not want to be angry. God wanted to be gracious. And such a blessing he pronounces on his people. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how you feel about this, but at that time, it was a time of fulfillment of the word of God. And as long as the people of Israel walked in the ways of God, he blessed them. He protected them. He made his face shine upon them. He was gracious to them. He even said to Moses, "To whom I am gracious, I am gracious." It was simply a time of prophetic revelation in those days. It was the hour, yea, it was the epoch of the fulfillment of the promise as God had given it to Abraham. After 400 years, I will bring forth thy seed out of the land wherein they shall dwell. When the time of the fulfillment of God's promises had come, he lifted up his countenance in blessing upon his people and brought them out with a strong hand and was gracious unto them. If all that is contained here in this blessing is pronounced upon the people of God and finds its fulfillment, then we are all helped. That is all we need. And let us make this our prayer from this day forth, saying, "Lord, bless me and keep me. Let thy face shine upon me and be gracious to me," and so forth. What do you think would happen? It is a glorious blessing pronounced here in the word of the Lord. And we know that as long as the people of Israel kept the word of God, God kept his promise. And he was obligated to bless as long as they kept the words of his covenant. And we know he has shown mercy throughout the 40 years and has blessed beyond asking and understanding. Yes, he has kept his people as the apple of his own eye and has not suffered any to wrong them, but has been with them, and compassed them about, and blessed them. On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel. Then when we read and hear later in the prophet Jeremiah that God must say, the curse will fall on them if they do not obey all the words of the covenant, then we see that the true blessing of God is tied to His word, and that God cannot bless unless we have taken His word into us and we have said yes to His word. It says here, with these words you shall pronounce a blessing on the Israelites. Who were the Israelites upon whom such a blessing was to be pronounced? They were children of promise already through Abraham. And because they were children of promise, they were entitled to the blessing of Almighty God. For on the basis of the promise, God held out the prospect of blessing. And we see here that all the words of God were fulfilled in them in that time, which God had appointed for that age, and all who believed were blessed with the blessing of Almighty God. And the servants of God were to bless all who came to worship and who agreed with the word of the Lord and with the ways of God, which He walked with His people. Brothers and sisters, is it any different today? Blessed are all those who have heard and received the word of God in this time. He keeps them. He has lifted up His face and made it shine upon them, and He has become gracious to us. Brothers and sisters, when you read the promise of blessing, you have an intimate love for the One who loved us, and it is a gratitude that rises in our hearts to know that Almighty God has taken such care of us, that He has revealed His word to us, and that for a blessing. When God spoke to Moses, He appeared to him in the fire, gave him the command. Later He led all the people out to be able to bless them. First the bringing out, and then the word of the Lord, and then the blessing of God. This is how it has happened at all times. First the deliverance of God's people from all bondage, then the word of the Lord revealed in their midst, and then the promise of the blessing of Almighty God. These people were people of promise in those days, and because they were, the servants of God were to pronounce this blessing upon the people of God. It wouldn't have done all those Israelites any good at all. Imagine if you went into a church today and you said some blessing and maybe made the sign of the cross or three. It doesn't matter. Only those can be blessed who have received the promises of God and have received the word of the Lord. All others pass by the blessing, and you can bless them as you like. Who was Aaron? He was, after all, a man whom God had called to be Himself in the midst of God's people, that is, among those who had been delivered, those who had been led out, and those who had part in the work of God in those days. Brothers and sisters, it becomes ever greater and more glorious to me that God has given us such a share in His work by grace in this last time. And then someone tells me that God has not blessed and not protected or that he has not lifted up his face and made it shine. He has done all this and has been gracious to us beyond measure. But who were these people upon whom God lifted up his countenance and made it shine? Who were the people whom God was gracious to? They were those who had believed when Moses came to them with the word revealed by God. They believed the message in their time, and therefore God had lifted up his face in advance and promised them mercy. And therefore, because all this had happened among the people of God, the servants of God were to pronounce in the service what the Lord had done for that people, namely, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God has granted us all this by grace. We can nothing for it. Also the people of Israel could nothing for it. But I am convinced the blessing of God is bestowed on those who heard his word, who believed it, who let themselves be led out, and who had enough reverence for his word and for what he had done, to receive it and to follow wherever it went. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. What more do we want? Brothers and sisters, we can say it with confidence. The Lord has blessed us. He has kept us. Where would we all have gone if God had not let his eyes watch over us? As we heard in the word of introduction, his eyes pass through all lands to show himself mighty in those who trust him with an undivided heart. And as long as the people of Israel trusted God with an undivided heart, he lifted up his face over them day and night and blessed them with a mighty blessing and kept them and carried them all the days of their life, sparing them in patience. No one could harm them. If the sea stood in the way, God made a way through the sea. Wherever there was trouble, God was there to help. But in the prophet Jeremiah we hear, when they are in trouble and cry out, I will not hear. Such is the fate of the people who were once blessed and God's face shone upon them, but they turned aside from the divine way and did not listen to the instruction of the servants and prophets whom God sent at all times, as it is written. And there it says, they killed them and did to them as they pleased. But God always had a remnant over whom he could make his face shine anew to bless them. When we then read the description of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, his face shone like the sun. Oh, when he lifts up his face, then we are all helped. Then he will speak, and then he will bless and give grace that we may understand and have part in his work. But who understands and who believes our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This much we can say, whoever believes the preaching of the word revealed by God, to him the arm of the Lord has been revealed and has been brought out, and we know that his face is lifted up above his people. Would anything else bring you more comfort than this? Brothers and sisters, what is wealth? What is success? No matter in what field. What do earthly values mean if at the end it must be said, Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I almost don't like to use the word, but the Lord said it. Depart from me, ye cursed, into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What good is everything in life if the face of God is not lifted up over us to bless and keep and save? What is the use of everything if he does not make his face shine and be gracious to us? What is the use of all pious activity? I read in a magazine today about a brother from Australia who is announcing a great revival, and I always feel a certain short circuit when I see how the people of God are being deceived. They are put off in every possible way. Through much pious talk, they are led past what God has done in this time. We may therefore, with great joy, give glory to our God. For before, as we heard in the opening word, there was uncertainty in going out and in coming in. But since God's word was revealed, there is certainty in going out and coming in. God has turned everything around. Is it true or not? Of course it's true. When we read here that those going in and going out, they were all in uncertainty. Why? But the moment the Spirit of God came upon the prophet and he stepped among the people, all uncertainty was over. All restlessness was over. They had certainty and rest in the Almighty God, who now took their side, because they took his side and believed his word. It says so wonderfully here, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you, while ye be with him. Do you notice how all these words intertwine? The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. The servants of God were to pronounce the blessing on the people of God. But the blessing was only among the people of God as long as they kept to the Lord and to his word. It says here, the Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Here is something that many have overlooked. They speak of the Lord, but he has forsaken them because they have forsaken him. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. In other words, his face shines upon you as long as you cleave to him and to his word. Then he is gracious, merciful, and of great kindness. If ye forsake him, he also will forsake you. That is a very sad word. Many people have not realized when they have forsaken the Lord. I think here of Brother Branham's sermon when he spoke about Jesus, when his parents or relatives left him there in Jerusalem at the age of 12. There it says they sought him, and probably on the third day they found him. And Brother Branham said, many did not realize that they had gone on without Jesus. They may have spoken much of him and of all that had happened, and they probably did not realize until the third day, if I'm right, that he was not with them and among them at all. Brothers and sisters, You can talk a lot about Jesus. You can always say, where two or three are gathered, there is He in the midst of them. How often two or three are gathered, and He cannot be among them, because they have long forsaken Him and His word, and broken the covenant. But thanks be to Him, that He has sent faithful servants at all times, to call together the remnant of His people and speak to them anew, and they have listened. Do you know what is written about Asa in chapter 16? There another seer also prophesied. It says in chapter 16, verse 10, then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. Do you see what it is? A man who will not be admonished by a prophetic word and will not be set right and brought back to God. He becomes unwilling, he becomes wicked, and he wants to transport the prophet as best he can out of time into eternity. He became unwilling and had him thrown into the prison house just because he was incensed against him. Why was he incensed? Because he was no longer willing to be rebuked by the Spirit of God, because he was not willing to be set right. He resisted God and what the Lord had to say with all that was within him. But of the multitude that heard and accepted the word at that time, there is something wonderful written. We have already heard it. Verse 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And here it says that He lets Himself be found by those who seek Him. They made a solemn commitment before the Lord. It was an oath for them. It was a vow for them. The moment they realized that a prophetic revelation had come to them, they recognized the seriousness of the hour and solemnly pledged, "The Lord our God we will seek with all our heart and with all our soul." We must do the same, brothers and sisters. Here in this place, we want to solemnly confess to the Lord that we have understood that a prophetic message has gone out from God to the people of the Lord. And this must be followed by a solemn declaration of God's people in the place where God has spoken to us that we will seek Him with all our heart and with all our soul. And then we can say, Lord, You have lifted up Your face and made it shine upon us, and give us Your blessing and Your peace, and are gracious to us. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Brothers and sisters, of course, no one will be punished with death at this time. But this much we must say: spiritual life is in the revelation of the Word of God, and whoever rejects the revelation of the Word of God is put to death spiritually. He is punished with death. he loses the divine life, because Jesus himself said, "My words are spirit and life. Whoever wants to have the life of the Spirit must take God's word into himself in order to have this life. Anyone who would not keep to the God of Israel should be punished with death." Many have been put to death spiritually. Their lamps have gone out. And we remember the prophecy that we mentioned in the circular letter. And they go along and are blinded by another brightness, not knowing that the pitfall awaits them. And one blind man leads another, and they fall together into the ditch. They are struck with spiritual blindness and with spiritual death at this time, because they have rejected that which would have opened their eyes and given them access to God so that they could live. This they rejected, and therefore they must die spiritually. It says here, "And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets." I cannot but say that the people of God at that time must have understood in one fell swoop what God had them say through the prophet. They did not go home first to think it over, but there they solemnly declared, "The Lord our God, the God of our fathers, we will obey and walk in his ways." And they made a loud shout of exultation. Where is this solemn declaration in our midst? Where is the shouting with trumpets that we, young and old, owe to the Lord, because we have understood a word of the Lord has gone out to us in this time, and we don't need to go home to confer with flesh and blood, but here we have recognized it has been revealed to us by the Spirit of God, and by the Spirit of God it was transfigured to us. And here we solemnly say, "Lord our God, thou God of our fathers, here we are, lift up thy countenance upon us, and be gracious unto us." And God is gracious to us beyond measure. This oath they made to the Lord with a loud voice, not just quietly, so that no one would hear, loudly, so that everyone would hear. Sometimes we are afraid of a loud prayer. I don't know who put the flea in our ear. No one needs to be afraid of a loud prayer. Here, with a loud voice, they solemnly confessed to the Lord their God that they belonged to him, believed him, served him, and had returned to the God of their fathers. The God who so graciously sent his prophet into their midst. Brothers and sisters, we go to the God of our fathers, to the God of all the prophets, and confess he has spoken. We owe it to him to seek him with all our heart and with all our soul. And solemnly in this place, with a very loud voice, not just quietly. No, if what we say is true, then we can say it very loudly, even in our prayers. Everyone can hear it. And it goes on to say, "And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart." What was it? A joy and a rejoicing was in all Judah at the decision of God's people in the hour when the prophetic message had gone out to them. In the holy place, they had heard a holy word and made a solemn declaration. What else is left for us but to say in this place, "Lord, your word we have heard." We are full of fear and trembling on the one hand, and full of joy on the other, For God has spoken graciously to us. It says here, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, not an oath with their lips, but it says here, they rejoiced, for they had sworn with all their heart. God looks through all the lands to prove himself mighty to those who trust him with an undivided heart, who do not leave a loophole open to say, if this thing doesn't work out, I will look for something else, but who understood that in the hour when God's word rang out to them, this is the message of God. For them there was nothing else but solemnly with all their heart. And I tell you this, perfect joy is only where you do something with all your heart. Half a thing with half a heart will never bring a whole joy, but a whole thing with a whole heart will bring a whole joy. And I believe we owe it to our God with all our heart to agree with his cause and his word, yes, all the word of his revelation, and to rejoice over it. For they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with a whole desire, and he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about, because they sought him with a whole heart. He was found of them. God had times, brothers and sisters, when he sent his prophets among his people, and those were the times God had appointed as refreshing for the blessing of his people. And those were the times when God's people were blessed, at least all those who received his word, rejoiced in it, and declared, with my God, with the God of my fathers, I will go forward and resist no longer. They solemnly declared, and there was rejoicing in their midst, and a deep joy, because they had done all this with all their heart. Brothers and sisters, may our God have succeeded in this time in bringing about in his people a whole conversion, a perfect faith in his revealed word. Or does anyone still need time to think it over, whether to believe God or not? None of us need time to think it over. This time to think it over, we had long enough. Since the Lord has spoken, we want to hear and receive and recognize. He has turned his face towards his people, and he makes it shine upon us in all its power and majesty. And he walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks to reveal his word and to do what he has set out to do. How about us? Have we, as the whole church, been able to bring such a solemn resolution to the Lord at this time and say, Lord, we have returned to you, the God of our fathers. We will walk in your ways alone and obey what you have told us. May not one sorrowful heart be found in our midst. May no one go to a whole thing with half a heart. Let us go to the whole thing with our whole heart, and God will bestow upon us all the blessing He has promised by grace. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Lord our God, we thank you with all our heart. We are moved by what we have read. For you back then sent your prophet with your word among your people, and they believed, Lord. But we are even more overwhelmed by what you have done in our time. You sent your prophet with your word among your people, O Lord. Now we stand before your holy face that shines upon us, and we wish to solemnly declare to you that we belong to you and believe you and will serve you all the days of our lives. We praise you and we worship you. Hallelujah. Faithful God, give us the faith in our heart and the jubilation that shall take hold of us all, that we may serve you with an undivided heart and believe all the words of thy mouth. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks and glory be to you. Amen.